Hello everyone, welcome to Disruption Works Chit Chat, talking about chatbots, voice development, and how technology can help overcome challenges and be deployed in your organization. So hello everybody, welcome to another edition of Disruption Works Chit Chat with Tom and Steve. Hi Tom, how are you doing? You all right?
Hi Steve, I'm doing fine. You?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. I hear you're doing work with schools at the moment with helping out, teaching, using your German skills. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good thing to do. It's a nice extra string to your bow. And you were talking German to me the other day. I've actually no idea what you were saying. I'm very sorry about that.
No, but it's actually it's a serious problem we have in the Netherlands today. And it's not only in the Netherlands. It's also, as far as I know, it's also the same situation in Sweden and partly in Germany as well, that there is a serious shortage of teachers for those who are in the secondary school. So I decided to just contribute a little where I can to make sure that our youngsters get their lessons anyway, so that they're not sitting around eating and drinking coffee in the canteen all the time and doing nothing. That doesn't make any sense when you're 14, 15 years old.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. No. And it's crucial time as well for them to do that. Yes. No, it's a very admirable thing to do. You're giving up your spare time to do it. So, you know.
No, and well, actually, from the basic, from the beginning, I'm schooled, and also I'm schooled as a teacher partly as well. To use this knowledge and these this opportunity to help the youngsters, I mean, that's how I work.
Great thing to do. Yeah, superb. Well, look, thanks again for joining the podcast, everybody. We were going to talk about today this conversation automation within charities. And, you know, we're already working with quite a few big charities in the UK. There are kind of Age charities, so Age UK, they're quite a predominant one for us, but also disability charities and, you know, people who are really, really need a service within our kind of social strata that they're not necessarily getting the support for all the time. And those charities themselves are pushed. You know, the funding is very tight at the moment. When we're in a background of real financial straits, the charities get hit really hard. You know, there's a severe gap in their fundraising, and they just don't get the funds they used to have. So they've got to be smarter. And that one of the things that I wanted to kind of talk to you about today, Tom, was really about how charities can be smarter within their processes. If I kind of lay out a little bit of what we're doing, so Age UK at the moment, we've got some partners on that we're doing work with. I literally had a chat this morning with one of their partners who wants to integrate into their Salesforce, and that's a huge step for them to try and do this whole self-service journey, which has got to be the case these days. You know, you've got to be able to self-serve as much as possible, no matter what the organization. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, of course. I mean, let's face it. I mean, where you can automate in a sensible way, where it makes sense, automate. Where it gets sensitive, where it gets complicated, try to find the right customer service or the right way to contact customers. But the simple or the more easier, non-complex work, getting some kind of data, asking easy questions, is all perfectly automatable by voice bots. Perfectly.
Yeah, I know. And it just surprises me how little kind of automation is in the charities that we keep bumping into. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of those things that, look, we're scratching around kind of trying to sell this to businesses and getting them up to speed. But I think charities are even further behind the curve because it's not something they think about that much.
Maybe it has something to do with the fact that organizations or people who want to engage other people to contribute to charities, that they think it would be a better, more personal way and a more convincing way to do that, always in a personal way.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is maybe old school again, because today, 2023, you can automate certain parts of that conversation or that dialogue, and where it gets really tricky or where it gets really sensitive, then switch to a live agent or a live person or whatever.
Yeah, choose. Well, absolutely. And that's the kind of the point of the conversation we're talking about earlier. The big pits for Age UK partners, for instance, is that, like every country, NHS is getting pushed. We've got a lot of bed blocking in the UK at the moment, with people not being able to leave hospital because they haven't got a care plan to be able to leave hospital. So The social care side of things is not picking up that part. So Age UK is starting to become part of that social care picture in a very strong way. You know, fair play to them. For the older people, that's exactly what they're doing. So there's a big referral journey. So, and that's a kind of a quite complicated journey. If that's done over the phone and just to a human agent, it takes a long time to take all those details, get the referral into the system, set up a case, all that type of stuff.
That's very elaborate. It's very elaborate. I mean, you have to have a huge number of persons behind the call center who's going to take those calls and register all those calls and blah, 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 all that comes with it. I mean, let me give you a fast example of what's going on in the Netherlands the last 2 weeks. Because the earthquake in Turkey and in Iran, the Dutch television simply pushed us out these messages like, please contribute, please contribute, please contribute. And then maybe it takes a week, but then you just can contribute. And when you can phone, or you can SMS, or you can just make a transfer over your bank. And if you phone, it's fully automated. Fully automated. Yeah. And it doesn't make any sense, because you know what the charity is. You know what you're contributing to.
Yeah.
And I mean, that message has already been given. But on the other hand, if that message is not clear, you still have to sort of pull people over to a certain kind of emotional threshold in order to make them pay something for a charity. And maybe then it gets a little bit more complicated. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, and that's a different call out for stuff like donations, isn't it? Because like you said, you know, that there's a very clear and present request for all the Turkey Syria stuff. And we've got the same, you know, so I could understand that's a very simple message to get across. How much would you like to donate? £10, £20, £50 type of message.
And then a very nice and friendly recorded message. Thank you very much for helping out and blah, 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 blah. And that works perfectly. Perfectly okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose that's the point, really. Those bits of the process that it doesn't really need the hand-holding for is absolutely, and in every single occasion, especially with charities, it's got to be automated. Because if you've got charity donations, and we've got, you know, loads, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of small charities, and it takes a certain amount of level of administration to administer an organization of anything. But if your donations, and you've only got a small charity doing, you know, say, if they're lucky, £1 million worth of donations, to then have a lot of that down to the administration because it's humans involved, that's mad.
You know? Doesn't make any sense. Just to give you an idea of call center costs, I mean, a normal average call in Western Europe, being taken care of a call center agent, costs about €4.80 until €5.20 per call, and then we base an average call of about around and about 2.5-3 minutes. If somebody's only going to contribute with £5 or £10, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense.
No, there's no margin in that. And then when you've got much longer calls, like I was saying about the referral system in, you know, if you've got a 15-minute call to refer somebody in because you've got to take a lot of information, then, you know, that form process, providing it's simple enough, should just be done automated wise. The integration we're talking to one of the Age UK people about into Salesforce is a referral, and it's going to take probably about I'd say about 20, 30 data points inputted through their chatbot. And then it's going to go straight into their Salesforce. It'll raise a case within Salesforce. It'll send the person up in Salesforce. It'll tell you who the referrer is. So they have all the information. And then that generates an outbound from their team to go, hi, Bob, you need some help. I've got all your information here. And I've already sorted out some of your plan. No, and that then starts, you've already started doing the caring bit, which is the bit that you were saying needs to be the human. It needs to be that interaction, because most charities have a human element, you know, and that's the bit that needs to be, there needs to be a human. We couldn't do that also, with a robot. That'd be the wrong thing.
Yeah, I mean, but if you want people to contribute to charities, you also need to sort of convince them. And in order to convince them, there you need a personal contact, a psychological factor.
Yeah, absolutely. But also the bits that, but if you can demonstrate that actually you're being quite smart as a charity even, then the likelihood that somebody's actually going to donate money in the first place is going to be better, because they'll go, well, they're smarter with our stuff. They're efficient. They're an efficient charity. So, yeah, I'm going to give to those people, because, you know, you want your money to go as far, as close to the cause as possible. You don't want it to be taken up in administrative costs if you can possibly help it. It's always the big bugbear, isn't it, when you're trying to give to a charity and you go, well, I gave them £10, but three of that went to just somebody shuffling paperwork around.
Yeah, and that's even a low percentage.
No, well, I'm not.
We have heard things like 50-60% is lost just by administrative blah 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 instead of
That's crazy. Yeah, it's totally crazy that.
It's terrible. Yeah.
I mean, the one of the big bits is that you know, depends on your audience. And like you mentioned that there's this direct message with a donation for a cause, it's all demonstrated, it's all quick, it's urgent, it needs to be done. They can't scale that, but you can with automation. But if you've also got people who are so again, if I take the medical professional side of things on Age UK stuff, they're medical professionals. They just want a referral out of their hospital bed. They want to make sure that they're going to have a care package set up for the patient that sat in front of them in the ward. And that whole process is now, you know, we're now setting up the automation to do that. And because Age UK staff aren't in at 10 o'clock in the evening, where they want to set up a care package for Joe who needs to go home, you know, that's not the process. But if you've got an automation in there and a process, it's done pretty much to the end until they get the call back tomorrow morning, and then that's set it all up.
Yes, I think you're right, but this only works, of course, when the process is very clear, both for the caller and for the company that takes care of the dispatch.
Yeah, yeah.
So if the process is clear and the momentums that needs to be taken care of are clear, then you have a perfect scenario for a full automation and with the quality automation as well.
No, absolutely. And I think that's the case with the stuff that we've been talking about here, because there is a clear path. They all know what needs to be happening. There's a lot of collaboration now between HUK and the NHS, you know, with three partners throughout the country, you know, with kind of getting that link up so that any older people can actually get a referral straight in, or it's via an organisation that's managing those things. But the process is always the same. It's always, they need to ask certain questions. They've got to have the right details so they can kick that process off. And it's still the human element that goes, right, can I've got all the information, I've set up this and this, it's already done because I had the information to do all those things. He's got a care package, you can now discharge him from hospital, and we'll come and pick him up, you know. And you know, so all that process is done. But it was kicked off at 10:30 last night, you know, and now he's getting picked up next day. And the release of that has such a knock-on effect for the whole process. It's such a powerful tool, you know, so it's really good.
Yeah, but you also know that, I mean, this sounds really amazing, but it's very dependent on the structure this is behind the automation. So
yeah.
If the infrastructure and the whole process that automates this kind of procedures is in order and fit for fight, then these things work very well. Yeah. But you know as well as I do that when a first step is made to automate with voice bots, then in the first phase, we are never really allowed to totally or fully integrate in backends. So that needs to go step by step. And then you do only a part, and that doesn't work very well because that doesn't work. So you need to be sure that all those components are able to sort of talk with each other when you automate in order to make it effective and efficient.
Yeah, I think you're right. The bit that I'm seeing with this example I keep talking about is the fact that their processes are now sort of very very mature in the fact that they're integrated into Salesforce. Salesforce is set up with its own internal automation to kick off alerts, kick jobs up, tasks and all that type of stuff. So they have workflows that actually we will be then triggering, you know, so we'll do our API calls with all the information that's been gathered, and it'll be pushed into Salesforce that then raises jobs for the people inside, you know. So, mm-hmm. you know, you've got direct collaboration between the bot saying, I've briefed you with everything, and the human picking it up and going, yeah, great, that's fine.
Yeah,
makes sense. Because, look, in charities, there's always going to be collaboration between any bot or automation and themselves, you know.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Can't be done otherwise.
I mean,
but again, I mean, lots of questions, lots of interaction, lots of dialogue, is subject to be automated and can be automated in a very efficient and very user friendly way. Let's not forget, and that was also something we touched upon last time we spoke in our chit chat. And maybe that's also interesting for people who listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
For 10 years ago, we had issues with speech recognition. Today, speech recognition is amazing. I mean, the accuracy is so tremendously high. So we can start with all kinds of open-ended questions, and we can do a little investigation in what we call domains in order to make sure that we know about what subject people talk about, and we can come with very intelligent answers, very intelligent dialogues. So I mean, it's all there to be automated efficiently, because today we are capable of creating a truly conversational dialogue style.
And the thing is with charities, they don't need to worry about the fact that there's an automation in place. Like I said, I think it's a benefit to a charity. I mean, look, there is a certain amount of, if the customer service department is automated, you know, you could have some sort of negative approach to that they haven't got enough people and they're just taking jobs or something like that. There's a bit of that. But with a charity, not, you know, because a charity is just going to be quite a different thing, you know.
Yes, and also I would like to add something there. I mean, what we just touched on was that maybe when in certain situations, when people donate 10 quid, 5 quid is spent on administration, and now you can have the voice bot saying, in order to get the most of your donation,
don't
voice bot, so we don't need to spend a lot of money on our administration stuff.
That's right.
Which makes it very convincing again.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's the right message to put across. And, you know, a lot of the messaging we're putting across now within the charity work and is help us to help you, you know, because if you use our chatbot, voicebot, whatever it is, then you're saving us time and money. Most of the problems are actually not necessarily, well, it is cost, but they can only scale so much as well. You know, so you were saying that, you know, you'd have to have big contact centers and stuff like that, but a lot of charities don't. So all that happens is they don't answer the phone because their lines are all engaged, or they just, you're on hold forever or whatever, you know. And that's its own problem, because these calls to gather this first part of the information take 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, then a person can only do, flat out, they can only do three or four of those an hour.
Yeah, and then you miss the whole thing.
Yeah, that's right. But there's loads that have just dropped off, you know, just keep dropping off, you know, so it's crazy. So I think it's huge, and it's something that I kind of wanted to talk about, because I'm a bit passionate about the fact that we do some really nice work for charities, and, you know, it's just trying to get that message across that you've got to be as smart as you can. And one of the biggest problems and bugbears with certain charities is you can't get hold of them. There's no communication methods, you know. But if you can turn your charity into an outbound organization more, because you've already gathered all the information, because you automated that process, then one, all your people will be able to get to everything, and they'll go back with a solution, and then it's done, you know. So it just changes the whole landscape of how you
do the training. And it's a very very user-friendly way of automating. I mean, it's conversational, it's friendly, it's consistent in quality as well. I mean, it's 24/7 if you want to.
Yeah,
whatever. Right. Yeah.
No, it is. It's huge. I mean, you know, and from an inclusivity perspective, it's really interesting. We were doing a lot of language work with Age Cymru, actually, because Welsh is an important language to the to Wales. So everything had to be in dual language, but only if it was requested. And we were going to do a whole track where it was going to be English language, it was going to be Welsh, copy typed, so it was all there. But actually, we ended up leveraging the Google Translate, and Google Translate's done a very, very good job of Welsh from English, you know, and it's pretty blooming good, you know. So you kind of go, well, okay. Allows them to communicate in Welsh. But if you think of more communities within our country that have that speak lots of different languages, and English isn't their first language, then it means they can actually interact with inline translation in the chatbot stuff that we do. So if they speak Urdu and that's what they understand, it's not going to be perfect Urdu, but it'd be enough for them to understand what the service is and how to do it.
Yeah,
you know, and what to fill in and what they've just been asked for and all that type of stuff, you know. So all that works really well. So
well, you know, for your information, we're actually prototyping a voice bot where one part, for instance, talks English and the other part talks Hindu back, and the voice bot translates on the fly in real time. So you talk with each other. As if you were using Google Translate on your phone.
Yeah, that's amazing. Martin actually demoed that to me.
Yeah, we have been talking about this, and we have been discussing.
Yeah, and it's brilliant, and it is really clever, because again, you're just talking in your language, so even as a contact center, and you want to actually get a human to do it. It's doing the translation as you go. So, you know, and then it's answering, and you can kind of hear the English response to somebody that's speaking Hindi.
It's just as a voice bot service. It's just a voice bot service.
Yes.
Hovering upon the Google translation machine.
Yeah.
It works very well.
So clever.
Yeah, that's works very well. Yeah.
And because, it's just that you actually have a human on both ends. And that's so you know, because you can't afford the different language support that you have, like multilingual speakers in a contact center, you know, you just can't do it.
The only thing is that it's sequential still, so you have to wait until the machine has presented your translation, so it slows down the process a little, but
that's
not a real problem.
It enables it, especially if you really do struggle with, you know, English as your first language or whatever your first language is. you know, wherever the contact center is. So, you know, it could be Spanish and Hindu, it doesn't really matter. But you know, if that's a real struggle to try and get staff in there, then that makes a hell of a difference, you know. So it's really powerful.
Still, of course, it's really powerful, and I see a lot of potential there. For instance, border security, when somebody is picked out somewhere, when they travel into a country and they took a flight and they have a suspicious way of acting, you know, what you see on television, those border security things, and when they don't speak the language and they need to be interviewed, that is border security staff is supported very much by these systems, instead of having to talk to a translator and making an appointment and blah blah blah, which also costs a lot of money,
enabled all that
time, blah blah blah, blah.
Because the technology is so good, it's instantly understandable, so you know exactly what's going on.
It's not 100% waterproof, but it's almost there.
But you can communicate. That's the point.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's, you know, you have to, I think there's a lot of tolerance for that. You know, but kind of dragging us back to the charity story, the point we have is that a lot of charities don't engage with their other communities because of language barriers, because they can't afford to get the other people in, because the donations don't support it. But if you have, you can have language support and you can help other communities within your area, then it's done, and you've automated the process, you've got it there, you know, you can be specific and you can answer all the questions that are relevant, you know, to what your services.
That's correct. Once again, I would like to emphasize that both you and I, working in the industry with voice automation, voice bots, everything has to do with it, Google Cloud Solutions, API, text-to-speech, speech-to-text. I mean, once again, I think we are trying to convince our listeners and making them understand that the technology is so far developed already, is so incredibly far already. And let's not stick in the old days, like for 10 years ago when it didn't work. Today it works very well. Try it out. Make some smart decisions. Try to automate in an effective and efficient way and still keep a user-friendly attitude, a conversational style, a high service quality. It's possible today. It's really possible today.
It's proven. It's been working. You know, we've got banks and all sorts of people using it. And it is there. And I think that's the point. We say every time, it's proven technology. This isn't rocket science. It's not science fiction.
It's not a technology that will pop up in 2 years from now. It's already here, and it's already tested. It works, and so we have to get some people because if we can convince industries like your podcast today, industries that are involved in charities, I mean, it would be a great advantage for them in order to keep up a consistent high service quality and saving money. Getting more money into the charity.
Totally scalable around events, you know.
Yes.
So we've got a charity, and I know we try and keep this within a time limit, but it just occurred to me, the exact Turkey Syria thing that you were talking about. We have a charity that's very local to us in Cornwall called Shelterbox. And what they do is they send a survival boxes out. So with tents, with all equipment, you know, so they'll have a cold weather one if it's cold weather, hot weather if it's hot, all that type of stuff, very personalized to what the event is. And they send thousands and thousands and thousands of these boxes out. And the boxes themselves are really useful boxes as well. They're a superb charity. But of course, that's it. You have this event. How do you scale it and just go, gives you donations and scale it? Well, if you've got an automated service like that in place, doesn't matter. You just go, call us anytime you like, and it's done. And if there's 10,000 of you calling now, it doesn't matter. If there's 10 of you calling now, it doesn't matter. It's there. It's done. Yeah. You know, you've got it in place. You know, it makes such a change.
Yeah.
Right. We need to get up off our soapbox. People, it works. That's all we need to go. Right? Yeah,
it really works. It does. And what doesn't work, just for your information, that when you have 10,000 calls and only a call center of 15 people, then you miss the whole thing.
No, that's absolutely doesn't work. Yeah, that is a challenge.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I hope that did help everybody, and you enjoyed that. And if you have any ideas and you want to get hold of us about different subjects, you want to talk about anything in particular, then you can email us on info@disruptionworks.co.uk. I'd be more than happy to pick that subject up and have a chat. But until next time, thanks very much. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, too. And next time. Bye.
Cheers. Bye now.
Okay, so thanks everyone for joining us on the Disruption Works podcast. If you'd like to find any of the previous episodes or series, then just search Disruption Works Chit Chat on your favourite podcast platform. Next week, we'll be talking about chatbots, voice development and everything in between. So I hope you can join us then.